Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. And we commence reading there in verse number 17. Exodus, chapter 13. Commencing to read at the verse number 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightway sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. It's amazing when God had given a promise even to Joseph. And God knew that God was going, or Joseph knew that God was going to fulfill his promise. He wouldn't see it. He knew his bones would be down there in Egypt, but he didn't want his bones to rest there. But he knew that God would fulfill, no matter how long the promise would take, that whenever the time would come, God would fulfill his promise and God would bring his people out. And so he said, he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Oh, may God give us that desire that we'll have a visitation of God. May God give us indeed that assurance in our hearts that God will surely visit us. Lord, visit us. I trust that even as you would read those words, that you would cry out to God even now and say, God, please visit me again. I need a personal revival. I need a personal visitation of the Lord. The old song says, not my brother, my sister, but it's me, dear Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I want to tell you, we need a visitation of God. I need a visitation of God. Friend, you need a visitation of God. But Joseph said, God will surely visit you. And ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped on Ephraim in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The children of Israel are leaving Egypt, and they're making their commencement of the journey on their way to the promised land. God had given Abram a promise more than 400 years before. But God is going to fulfill his promise. And then we noticed last Lord's Day not only the promise, we noticed the performance. Because as the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, they didn't leave in an indisciplined fashion. But their performance was they were disciplined, they were as an army. They were harnessed, they went five in a rank as they made their way out of the land of Egypt. And then we noticed their pathway, because the Bible says in verse number 37 of chapter 12, it tells us there, and the children of Israel journeyed from Rameses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And we noticed the pathway that they had taken from the city of Rameses. And then we notice finally the people. And we notice there in verse number 38 of chapter 12 these words. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And there we notice, as we concluded our message last Lord's Day there in the people, that as the children of Israel started the journey that God had promised would happen, that God would bring them out of Egypt and bring them into Canaan's land. Yet there's a sad reality that they failed to watch their company or the companionship. And there you notice in verse 38, the craftiness of the devil, because it says a mixed multitude went up also with them. And there we see how subtle the devil is. The devil knew that God was going to take the children of Israel. They were starting their journey. And so therefore what the devil did was he sent a mixed multitude with them. And you will find as you read in the book of Numbers how that this mixed multitude became a people that murmured and spread a murmuring spirit and a dissatisfied spirit amongst the people of God. And instead of them going up as God had commanded the children of Israel to go up alone out of the land of Egypt, how that the devil brought onto them or brought to their coattails, as it were, and amongst them a people that were not there for spiritual reasons, but were there for fleshly reasons alone. And is it not true that whenever God starts to work, and when God starts to move, my, you'll see the old devil and the devil's crowd will seek to hinder the work of God. They will seek to stop the work of God pressing on and pressing upward. Let me just show you that. Let's go back to the book of Genesis just for a moment, please. Go back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. And if you go down there to verse number 31, and it says this, "And Terah took Abram a son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there." Now when you go to verse number 1 of chapter 12, it says, "The Lord had said." And so therefore chapter 12 is speaking about something had it already happened. God had said unto Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." But you'll notice that instead of that happening, "Get thee out of thy country, get thee out from thy kindred, get thee away from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee." Instead of that, it is recorded in verse 31 of chapter 11 that Terah took Abraham, his son, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees, that was his country, to go to the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And what happened was simply this, that instead of Abraham obeying God completely and leaving his kindred and leaving his father's house, instead of him doing that, you find that Terah went with him. Now the word Terah, the name means delay, delay. And that's exactly what happened, because we find that 5 years they spent in Haran. 5 years that God didn't want them to stay. God says, "I want you to go and I want you to make your way to the promised land, to the land that I will show thee." And yet we find that because he disobeyed God, he failed to do what God had said completely, we find that there was a delay. And instead of going to the land of promise, now remember, the land of promise was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Instead of that, it says that they came unto Haran. Now it's interesting, the word Haran simply means not milk and honey, it means parched. It means the very opposite. And instead of them going into blessing that God wanted them to go and enjoy the blessing of the land of milk and honey, they stopped off at a place called Haran where their lives were parched, and for 5 years until God removed Terah, the obstacle. God took him away. And it says that Terah died. And it was whenever Terah died, 5 years after they'd come to the place, that in actual fact, they were able to start moving on and entering into the blessing of the Lord. Oh friends, let me tell you, there's something here for us here in this passage of God's Word. And instead of them obeying God completely, Instead of him separating himself and separating himself unto the Lord and leaving his kindred in his father's house, his father went with him. And instead of going on, he delayed the blessing. He failed to do what God had said to him. There are many of God's people that are not obeying God concerning separation and taking that separate stand, and they're wanting a foot in both camps, and they're delaying the blessing that God has for their lives. For he has promised that he will bring you into the land that flows with milk and honey, in other words, of blessing and of power in your life. But that only comes with obedience when you obey the Lord. Turn to the book of Nehemiah now just for a moment as well. Maybe you should just look there and just see exactly what happens whenever this mixed multitude comes. It says in Nehemiah chapter 5, and in Nehemiah chapter 5, in the verse number 17, it says these words, "Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us." Notice they came, there were those that were there, he said, at his table, that were not only that were Jews and rulers, but there were those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Go to chapter 13 now of the same book. And in chapter 13 and verse number 1, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. And therein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into blessing. That's God's sovereignty. God can even turn the devil's curse into blessing, and God can laugh at the devil's crowd, because God is sovereign. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel, who? All the mixed multitude. They separated from Israel. There had to be a separation to be obedient unto the word of the Lord. Friends, today here we find that way back there in the book of Exodus. Let's go back to the chapter we're reading, in chapter number 12. And it tells us in verse 38, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle." They joined Israel. And the tragedy is this, they became a thorn in the flesh of Israel instead of being a blessing. We need to separate unto the Lord. "Wherefore come out from among them," God says, "and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." Friends, in God's name, may God help us not to flirt with apostasy. And those of the ecumenical movement or the apostate denominations that have turned away from the old book, and turned away from the old ship of Zion, and turned away from the old preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto compromise. Sad to say that there are many evangelical ministers that are compromising today, sitting down in denominations with ungodly men, and they are recognizing them as brethren in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say this very simply before I move on. Failure here to separate will bring weakness later, and it will lead to trouble. Make no mistake about it. It brings its own judgment. It brings its own trouble. It brings its own heartache. It brings its own heartbreak. So there we see the people. But let us move on. Let's look at the peril. Let's go to chapter 13 now and go to verse number 17. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them." God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Now the word of God tells me in the book of the Psalms that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
And here we find that there's much in this passage of God's Word in the leading of God to the children of Israel that is for our edification. Maybe I should give you a little verse we read this morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 just for a moment and go to verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because people say to me, you know, preacher, you're spending time about this journey from with the children of Israel, yes, down in Egypt, and then from Egypt to the promised land. But what has that got to do with me? What relevance has it to do for my life and my Christian living? Well, then you better read the New Testament and you'll find the answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says in verse 11, now all these things, what things, friend? What things? What's in the early part of the chapter 10 of the book of 1 Corinthians? It speaks about the children of Israel as they're going through the wilderness, and how that God led them, and how that God, it says verse 1, brethren, I would not have you, you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And it says in verse number 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so the lessons here for us concerning the children of Israel, as they were led out of Egypt into the land of promise and the cloud went before them, the Word of God says that these things happened for our admonition, and they're in samples or examples for you and for me. Let me give you a wee word of encouragement. Just look at verse number 12 before we move on. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know, sometimes when God's people are feeling depressed or feeling downhearted or discouraged by the battle, that they say, you know, nobody ever had it like me. And nobody knows what I'm going through. Let me tell you, God knows what you're going through. I'll tell you something else. God, who is sovereign, will not allow a temptation but which is common to man. In other words, others have experienced that too. What you're going through, friend, it's not just simply for you, but there are other people, other brethren, other sisters, other saints of God that have gone through similar trials and situations that you're going through. But please remember this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. You have a faithful God. So often we get our eyes upon the problems, and we get our eyes upon our situation, we get our eyes upon our circumstances, and we get so consumed with them, we take our eyes off God. Remember this, but no matter about the temptation, God's faithful. You have a faithful God. And this is how faithful God is. Look at the rest of the verse. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And if God is allowing a temptation, in other words, God's allowing a trial, a circumstance in your life that you're going through this morning, God will not permit in His sovereign plan and purpose in your life to allow you to go through something, but God knows that you're able to overcome, and God will give you the victory in. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now that's a word of encouragement. You remember that. No matter how dark the night, no matter how deep the valley, no matter how difficult the circumstance that you're going through today, God knows that if He allows it and permits it or sends it into your life, God will not permit anything that you're not able to bear, to bear or not able to carry. But God will make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so we find the children of Israel are going through from the land of Egypt and they're making their way. Now what did God say in chapter, go back to Exodus now, chapter 13 and verse 18. God led the people about. Verse 17 says, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, but God led them about. Now what's God doing here? It says here that the way of the Philistines, it was the near way. It was the close way. But God didn't allow them to go the near way. God didn't allow them to go the short way, but God led them about. In other words, God led them the long way. So what is God doing, friend? God is testing them, yes. But there's a purpose in what God is doing. You see, God knows this. God knew that if the children of Israel went the short route, they would be faced with the Philistines and they would be faced with warfare that they were not ready for. They would have been faced with a situation that they, humanly speaking, would not have been able to bear. And therefore, God didn't allow them to go that way. And you know, that's what God did, for example, in Abram's life. You read the story of Abraham. And let me tell you, my friend, God tested Abram in many different ways as he walked the walk of faith. But God allowed Abram to go through many tests until the day he came to the greatest test. He didn't give him the greatest test first. He allowed him to experience many tests in life and many trials until it came to that moment when God said to Abram, offer thy son, thine only son, Isaac. And friend, let me tell you this. Abram had proved God in the tests before. He proved the sufficiency of the grace of God. He proved the enabling power of God in the tests that he had come through. And when he came to the greatest test, I believe, of any father, in the offering up of his son, then Abram was able to come through with flying colors because God had prepared him. And that's exactly what God's doing with the children of Israel. Israel was not ready for warfare. And so God allows them to face other tests. In other words, what God was doing, he was preparing them for the day that they would face the battle with the Philistines. But God didn't allow them to go through the land of the Philistines. Why? Because it said, verse 17, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God knew exactly what they could bear or what they couldn't bear. You say, well, I have a heavy burden today in my heart. And if God has permitted that or God has sent it in his sovereign purpose into your life, friend, God knows that you're able to bear because God will provide you a way to escape. God will not send something into your life or mine, but God knows that we're able to carry it, or God knows we're able to bear it. And that's exactly what it says in verse 18. But God led the people about. In other words, he took them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Because what God was going to do was this. God was going to prove himself in a powerful way that whenever it came to the battle, the people could trust God. The people could rely upon the faithfulness and the sufficiency of God because he approved them again and again and again. You look in the book of Ephesians concerning the people of God, in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us there in verse number 3, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, God has blessed us. But when you go to the end of the book of Ephesians, friend, let me say, this is what it says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, and in the evil day, having done all, to stand. And you see, God is preparing his children for the battle. And sometimes we feel that the shortcut or the easy way is the way to blessing. Wouldn't that be the simple way? Wouldn't the easy way with the comfortable way, friend? My, isn't that what we really want? Isn't that what we really would love to have? We sang this morning, it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. Many are the thorns on the way. But Jesus walks beside us. And he lightens the journey. And friends, let me tell you this. God, in his sovereign purpose, God is working out a sovereign plan here. And he's going to reveal himself to the children of Israel. You see, he didn't lead them the way of the Philistines, because the battle would have come too soon and they would have gone back. But he led them about, and they would prove God and the sufficiency of God. You see, God would reveal his power, for example. God led them through the Red Sea. He didn't lead them around it. He led them through it. And when God led them through the Red Sea, God was revealing his power. Because God showed his children, here was an impossible situation. The enemy was coming behind them. There were mountains on either side of them. There was a river in front of them. And humanly speaking, friend, there was no way ahead. There was no way through. And the enemy was just about to come upon them. And then God opened the Red Sea. And God revealed his power. You see, God was going to reveal himself to his children. And God wants to reveal himself and power in your life, friend. And you see the circumstances that God has permitted for you. Let it be a time, let it be a circumstance of the revelation of God's power. Let God reveal himself to you in it. You see, God was not only going to reveal his power, he's going to reveal his purposes. See, God had a purpose in this journey. And was not only a purpose of delivering the children of Israel, but to destroy their enemies. God says, I'm taking you this route. And God says, I have a purpose. Go to chapter 14. Let's see what God says. In verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. Between Migdol and the sea, and over against Baal Zephon, before ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. You remember the first question that Pharaoh said to Moses, who is the Lord that I should serve him? And God says, listen, the Egyptians are going to know through the destruction of Pharaoh and through the destruction of his armies. God says they're going to know that I am the Lord. See, there was God's purpose. And in the leading of the children of Israel, not only was it a revelation of God's power, but it was a revelation of God's purpose, the destruction of Israel's enemy, as the water would close in upon him. You say to me, but the journey's hard, preacher. And the journey's long. Let me tell you, my friend, this journey was a wonderful journey that God took the children of Israel, because without this journey, there would not have been the revelation that God gave of the law on Mount Sinai. You see, there came a specific time. There became a specific place where God wanted to reveal his heart to the children of Israel. And I tell you this. You see that circumstances that you're going through. You let God reveal the specific purpose, the specific program that he has in that specific place. Let it be a revelation of God. Let God speak to you. Let God deal with your heart. You see, God proved them. God humbled the children of Israel by this journey. But he proved them. And they proved God. And you know, there's a tremendous purpose in the leading of God in our lives, friend. That not only that we would know our own hearts, but that we would know God's heart. And we need to see our own hearts just to see how sinful and helpless and hopeless of ourselves. But God will prove us. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 concerning this journey. Let me read it to you. And all the commandments which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and thee and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, God proved them by the journey. You see, there's a sovereign purpose of God. We read in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's always a sovereign purpose in the working of God, friend. And no matter how dark that journey is, no matter how lonely that journey may seem to be, you remember this, he led them the right way. The right way. But here's something in closing I want you to notice. That whenever they came to a specific point, they came to the wilderness. And up until that moment, they were walking a well-known track. But whenever they came to the wilderness, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And now they're coming to an on-track path that they've never walked before. And then verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them. The Lord went before them. And he led them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. Note God did, friend. When they came to the place that was on track, God took over. And the Lord went before them. Are you letting the Lord lead you? You say, I can't understand why God's taking me this way, friend. Well, why don't you take your hands off the wheel, friend? And let God take over. Why don't you let God do the leading? Why don't you just simply follow him? Because that's exactly what happened up until this moment. The pathway they knew, until they came to the part in the journey, friend, they've never walked this path before. Man hasn't gone this way before. It's out into the wilderness. There's no tracks. And then it says, and the Lord went before them, because God provided them the guide for the journey. And there was a pillar. There was the pillar of the cloud by day, and the pillar of the fire by night. And that marked a turning point in their life. And you see, whenever you take your hand off the wheel, friend, and you stop making the decisions, and you stop deciding what you're to do, I'll guarantee you that will mark a turning point in your life. When you say, God, I've come to the end of my resources, and this is an on-track pathway, and I don't know what lies before me. And God, I'm on the edge of the wilderness. I'm on the edge of the wilderness. I can't see the way ahead. And nobody has gone this way before me. And therefore, I'm not simply following them. And I'll guarantee it will mark a change in your life. For the trackless wilderness became an opportunity
for a sovereign God. And he led them. And he did it by special means. The pillar of cloud by day. Very quickly, I want to just mark these things. The leading of the pillar. It says that it went before them. Now the interesting thing about this pillar is this. Not only did it order their steps, but it ordered their stops as well. This pillar ordered their steps. You see, it's easy whenever you're going, and whenever it seems to be that everything's going fine, but if not only did this pillar of cloud, friend, not only did it order their steps, but it ordered their stops. Has God stopped you? You say, I can't understand this. Listen, it was easy when everything just seemed to be, he was ordering my steps. And I was moving forward. But now it stops. See, where do you get that, preacher? Turn to the book of Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 9. And in verse number 16 it says, so it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. In other words, there was a steps. Whenever the cloud went up and went before them, they journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, in other words, where the cloud stopped, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. In other words, they had to stop. They moved as the cloud moved. Why? Because the cloud spoke of the visible sign of the Lord's presence. It was the Lord that went before them in the cloud. And whenever the cloud moved forward, they moved forward. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. Go to verse 18. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. See, it says, just as God commands. This is nothing of man, friend. This is not God, man's timing. This is not man's deciding. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. At the command of God, they went forward. At the command of God, they stopped. And is it not true that sometimes we can rebel at the stops of God because we can't understand them? Verse 19, and when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Are you keeping the charge of God, friend? For God has stopped you. In other words, are you just be faithful where God has stopped you at, friend? Are you just remaining faithful? You're not moving forward. You're stopped. But it says the children of Israel kept the charge of God. They journeyed not. Verse 20, and so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Verse 23. At commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Know that meant, friend? They were content to wait on God. They were content to go with God, the leading of the pillar. There's something about that cloud. And there's something about the leading of God, friend, because the leading of God will never be a contrary to the Word of God. God never leads His child contrary to the Word of God. When I hear people say to me, God told me to stay an apostate, I say to them, let me tell you, then is God in confusion? No, He's not. In Psalm 99, verse 7, it says, He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. No, God will not lead you contrary to the word of God. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimonies and the ordinance that God gave them. Time's away this morning, but the pillar was a covering. It covered them. And the pillar of cloud by day. It was not only a covering, it was a protection. You know, it's lovely. Because you see, whenever the children of Israel looked around and they saw the Egyptians coming, and they felt afraid, and actual fact, they started to groan, they started to complain against Moses, the servant of God. You know what God did? He took the cloud from in front of them. As the enemy was closing in upon them, and their hearts were filled with fear, and they thought the devil's cloud was going to take them back to bondage. And they thought they were going to die right there at the Red Sea. You know what God did? He took the cloud from before them. And God just put the cloud behind them, that the enemy couldn't see them anymore. God put a division between his children and the enemy, because the cloud became a protection. Yes, it was a covering for them. Because in actual fact, some suggest it was like an umbrella whenever the noonday sun came, and as they were journeying across there, they had been tired and they would have been thirsty. But it was a cloud. The cloud was a covering for them. God tells us that it was a covering. In Psalm 105, verse 39, just in case you thought I thought that wee idea myself. It was not only a covering, but it was a protection. And friend, let me tell you, God will bring his children through, for God will protect you. Don't you worry. And the wonderful thing about the pillar was this. It never left them. It never left them. You'll find that in verse 22 of chapter 13. The pillar never left them. In spite of all their grumbling, in spite of all their complaining, it never left them. And there's a thought about that. Isn't God good to us, friend? Isn't God good to his people? He'll see you through. You remember that? God will see you through. No matter how dark the day is, no matter how lonely the day is, maybe God has stopped you. Maybe you're going in the steps. But friend, just go with God. And the Lord led them. But he led them the right way. Heavenly Father, at times in our lives we don't understand. We stand in the mist and the maze. And our hearts, Father, are anxious, and our hearts are weary. Father, we feel that nothing has been done, and we feel that we're going nowhere. But Lord, we pray that you'll give us grace just to go with thee, no matter where it is. Where he may lead me, I will go. For I've learned to trust him so. And Father, we thank thee that as the children of Israel proved thee again and again and again, you were preparing them for the battle. For the day of battle would surely come. But Lord, as you delivered them at the Red Sea and took them through on dry ground, and as you fed them, O God, with food from heaven, and the manna was given of God. So you brought them through and they proved thee. And Lord, you give them grace in the day of difficulty. So, Lord, you'll give us grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Bless your people today. Lord, we pray you lift up our hearts. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going with us all the way. And you'll not stop till you take us home. In Jesus' name we pray.